بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. غفر الله لنا ولشيخنا وللمسلمين والمسلمين. يقول شيخ الإسلام رحمه الله تعالى في كتابه العقيدة الواسطية: ومن أصول أهل السنة التصديق بكرامات الأولياء وما يجري الله على أيديهم من خوارق العادات في أنواع العلوم والمكاشفات وأنواع القدرة والتأثيرات كالمحثور عن سالف الأمم في سورة الكهف وغيرها، وعن صدر هذه الأمة من الصحابة والتابعين وسائر قرون الأمة وهي موجودة فيها إلى يوم القيامة. ثم من طريقة أهل السنة والجماعة اتباع آثار رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم باطنا وظاهرا، واتباع سبيل السابقين الأولين من المهاجرين والأنصار، واتباع وصية رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حيث قال: عليكم بالسنة وسنة خلفاء الراشدين المهديين من بعدي، تمسكوا بها وعدوا عليها بالنواجذ، وإياكم ومحدثات الأمور، فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة. ويعلمون أن أصدق الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ويؤثرون كلام الله على غيره من كلام أصناف الناس، ويقدمون هدي النبي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم على هدي كل أحد. ولهذا سموا أهل الكتاب والسنة، وسموا أهل الجماعة، لأن الجماعة هي الاجتماع وضدها الفرقة. وإن كان لفظ الجماعة قد صار اسما لنفس القوم مجتمعين، والإجماع هو الأصل الثالث الذي يعتمد عليه في العلم والدين. وهم يزينون بهذه الأصول الثلاثة جميع ما عليه الناس من أقوال وأعمال باطنة وظاهرة مما له تعلق بالدين. والإجماع الذي ينضبط هو ما كان عليه السلف الصالح، إذ بعدهم كثر الاختلاف وانتشر في الأمة.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير، ونشهد أن محمدًا عبد الله وخليله ورسوله، بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح للأمة، بعثه الله جل وعلا رحمة للعباد، فكان رحمة مهداة، وكان رفيقا بالمؤمنين، رؤوفا بهم رحيما، صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. فما من خير إلا دل الأمة عليه، ولا شر إلا وحذرها منه، فتركها يوم تركها وهي في طريق من استمر سائرا عليه فاز بالعاقبة الحميدة. في بداية درس هذا اليوم من رسالة العقيدة الواسطية التي ألفها شيخ الإسلام أحمد بن عبد الحليم بن تيمية الحراني، موجهة لأهل بلد واسط في جهة العراق، يبين لهم العقيدة التي من تمسك بها واهتم بالمحافظة على ما تدل عليه وكان يبتغي بذلك وجه الله أفلح ونجا. أهل السنة هم الذين يعتمدون على كتاب الله جل وعلا وعلى سنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم في جميع أمور إيمانهم، في أمر الحلال والحرام وعبادة الله والتنزه عما لا يريده الله جل وعلا. فأصول أهل السنة التصديق بكرامات الأولياء، الكرامات التي يعطيها الله جل وعلا من شاء من عباده، والأولياء هم أولياء الله، ولا يكون الإنسان وليا لله حقا إلا إذا أحسن التمسك بالسنة النبوية في عبادته، في إيمانه بالله جل وعلا وأنه الفعال لما يريد، في أن الخلق من في السماء ومن في الأرض من الخلق خلق الله، والله هو المالك. وصول أهل السنة التصديق بالكرامات الأولياء، لا يكون الإنسان وليا بما يدعي هو يقول أنا ولي، وإنما ما يجريه الله جل وعلا. ثم أشار شيخ الإسلام رحمة الله عليه فيما ذكر في سورة الكهف سألت بنو إسرائيل موسى كليم الله الذي كلمه الله جل وعلا تكليما، قالوا له من أعلم الناس؟ فقال أنا. فأوحى الله إليه بأن عبدا من عباد الله أولى أعلم منه، وعامة كل من يقرأ القرآن يقرأ ما دار بين موسى وصاحبه، لما علم بذلك موسى أراد أن يعلم يتعلم من ذلك العالم علما، ثم سار، والقصة معروفة بالقرآن الكريم، يحملون معهم حوتا، وكان الغلام لا يدري ما سوف يترتب. لما تجاوز موسى ومن معه المكان الذي يتوقع أن يجد فيه من يطلبه. قال لغلامه: آتنا غداءنا لقد لقينا من سفرنا هذا نصبا، يعني تعبنا قبل ذلك الوقت ما شعر بالتعب. فبين له أن الحوت انفلت من الوعاء الذي هو فيه ودخل بالماء سافر راح. قال: إني نسيت الحوت وما أنسانيه إلا الشيطان أن أذكره واتخذ سبيله في البحر إلى آخره. قال: ذلك ما كنا نبغي. ما كان الغلام يدري ما المراد، وإنما صاحب موسى عليه السلام وفهم أنه سوف يذهب إلى غاية مهما تعلم. هذه من الكرامات الواضحة لموسى عليه السلام. لما انفلت الحوت عرف أنه في المكان الذي يريد أن يلتقي به الرجل، فوجد عبدا من عباده كما قص الله. فسأل موسى قال، وفيما يرى أنه لما سلم قال أن بأرضك السلام، ثم سأله قال: أنت موسى بني إسرائيل؟ قال: نعم. قال له: أنت فلان؟ قال: نعم. لم يسبق لهما لقاء ولا تقابل ولا شيء. استأذن موسى الخضر ليتعلم منه، فأخبر الخضر أنه لا يستطيع أن يتحمل ما سيواجه. ولا شك أن هذه الأمور التي ذكرت في سورة الكهف أنها تلفت النظر. خرق السفينة وقتل الغلام الناشي، وأهل القرية لم يحترموا ضيفهم ضيفيهما، ومع ذلك لما وجد الجدار السيارة قد أقامه. وفي كل مرة يعترض موسى على الخضر فيرد عليه يقول: ألم أقول إنك لم تستطع ما صبره؟ يعني ستواجه أمورا لا تصبر عليها. في المرة الأولى قال: لا تؤاخذني بما نسيت، لما خرق السفينة. وفي الثانية لما قتل الغلام الذي لم يبلغ قال له: إن سألتك عن شيء بعدها فلا أصحابك، إلى آخره. ثم جاءت الثالثة لما أقام الجدار. وفي كل مرة يعترض موسى على الخضر. الأول قال: أخرجت لتغرق أهلها لقد جئت شيئا إمرا، والثاني قتلت نفسا زكية بغير نفس لقد جئت أمرا شيئا نكرا، والثالثة قال: لو أخذت على الجدار أجره لأنهم ما ضيفونا. فقام وقص عليه ما سمعنا. يقول النبي رحمه الله موسى: يعني لو لم يستعجل حتى ينقل لنا من خبر ذلك الشخص في سيرهما أو سيرهم جميعا الثلاثة، هو أخبره الخضر قال: إني أعطيت علما لم تعطه، أمور مغيبة. الخضر يعرف أن في الطريق ملك، أي سفينة صالحة يأخذها ويحرم أهلها منها. فخرق السفينة حتى إذا رآها ذلك الملك رأى أنها غير صالحة تركها. الغلام أخبر أنه يخشى على والديه منه من يريق كفرة، ثم قال في آخر الثلاث: وما فعلت، يعني كل هذه الأمور ما فعلتها عن أمري، لأنما هو بأمر الله. فذكر مما يذكر في الحديث أن طائر وقع على حافت السفينة فنخر من الماء، والله أعلم أنه قد يكون نهر النيل وقد يكون البحر الأحمر هذا. قال يا موسى ما نقص علمي وعلمك مما علم الله إلا كما نقص هذا الطائر من ما نقر من البحر. في القصد أن كرامات أولياء الله، عمر رضي الله عنه قال يا في أحد الحروب يا سارية الجبل، هذا في المدينة، وسارية كان في جيش يقوده، ومع ذلك بلغته الكلمة فرجع إلى ملاصقة الجبل حتى لا يؤتى من خلفه إلى آخر إلى غير ذلك. فالقصد أن من حصلت على يديه كرامة، إن كان متقيا لله مطيعا له يحل ما أحله الله ورسوله ويحرم ما حرمه الله ورسوله، مؤمنا بالله جل وعلا وملائكته وكتبه ورسله إلى آخر شرائط الإيمان والإسلام، هذه كرامة. وأما إن كان غير ذلك فهذه محرقة شيطانية، وتعرف الكرامة من غيرها بمعرفة من تقع على يده. ثم ذكر شيخ الإسلام رحمه الله يقول وعن صدر هذه الأمة من الصحابة والتابعين وسائر قرون الأمة، وهي موجودة فيها أي في هذه الأمة إلى قيام الساعة. لا يلزم أن كل الناس يعرفون كل شيء عنها. الفقرة الثانية من قراءتنا قال ثم من طريقة أهل السنة والجماعة، يعني كيف كانوا يفعلون؟ يتبعون آثار النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم باطنا وظاهرا. باطنا يعملون بمثل ما كان يعمل، وباطنا يؤمنون أن هذا الذي فعله النبي إنما فعل هذا بأمر الله وتوجيه الله له. فأهل السنة لا يقابلون ما صح من الأخبار، ما نص عليه القرآن أو صح من أخبار النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، لا يقابلونه باختيار سواه، لأن ما جاء عن الله أو عن رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم فهذا هو الحق. لا يصح لأحد أن يقول لا أنا سألتمس ما هو أصلح من ذلك، بما في ذلك تشريع الأحكام، ضياع الأمة الإسلامية وتخلفها وتأخرها، إنما من أسبابه عدم قيامها بأركان الإيمان والإسلام. يقول اتباع سبيل السابقين الأولين من المهاجرين والأنصار. النبي ذكر أن خير الناس بعد الأنبياء الصحابة، ثم الذين يلونهم. من هم الذين يلون الصحابة؟ التابعون. ثم الذين يلونهم من هم؟ أتباع التابعين. هؤلاء يمكن ما تنتهي المئة الثانية إلا وقد انقرضوا. هؤلاء لا يجتمعون على باطل، ولهذا أشار رحمة الله عليه إلى وصية رسول الله الذي قال عليكم بسنتي. السنة ما شرعه صلى الله عليه وسلم من جميع أمور التشريع من عبادات وتحليل حلال وتحريم حرام وتوجيه بأداب وغير ذلك. ثم قال وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين من بعدي، تمسكوا بها وعضوا عليها بالنواجذ، يعني شددوا الاستمساك بها. والعض الشيء بالنواجذ وهي الأنياب التي تكون في الفم، لأن العظ بالأنياب أقوى استمساكا من العظ بالأسنان البادية في أول الفم، العظم عليها بالنواجذ. ما اكتفى بهذا، قال وإياكم محدثات الأمور، فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة، وفي بعض ألفاظ الحديث وكل ضلالة في النار، يعني أن مذهب السلف أهل السنة والجماعة الاستمساك بسنة النبي. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحج قال لعلي لا ألقاكم بعدكم هذه، خذوا عني مناسككم، انظروا أعمال العمل الذي أقوم به وافعلوا مثله. النبي قال عن الصلاة صلوا كما رأيتموني أصلي. ومن رحمة الله بنا أن أعماله في الحج وأعماله في الصلاة أداء الصلوات حفظت لنا في سفره وإقامته، في جلوسه مع صحابته، في جلوسه مع أهله، في بيته، في ليله وفي نهاره، كل ذلك من فضل الله علينا حفظ لنا ونقله أهل العلم أهل الأمانة والتقى والصدق والثبات. فأمرنا عليه الصلاة والسلام بالتمسك بسنة الخلفاء الراشدين، قال وإياكم ومحدثات الأمور، يعني الدين كمل ما أصبح محتاجا لأن يزاد فيه شيء في التنسك في العبادة في كل الأمور، الدين كمل في حياة النبي ونزل على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في حجة الوداع وهو في عرفة يوم الجمعة الوقفة، اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. هذا الدين كامل، ومع ذلك يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد مردود عليه. ولذلك كثير من الطرق التي يتعبد الناس بها ينظر هل ثبتت عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أو عن خلفائه الراشدين، إذا لم تثبت عن هؤلاء فلا يصح التعبد بها. النبي يقول من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد، يعني مردود عليه غير معتبر. وفي لفظ من أحدث في أمرنا هذا، يعني من أحدث في إسلامنا تقربات لم تشرع، لم يشرعها الرسول ولم يسنها ولم يسنها صحابته، فهي مردودة عليه، ما دام أنه قد كمل في حياة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فلن يبقى حاجة لأن يتطلب زيادات أو تنسكات أو اعتكافات في بلدة كذا ولا في بلدة كذا، لا، أو سفرا إلى مكان معين بسفر من أجل التعبد فيه، كل هذا ممنوع بموجب قول النبي عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء المهديين من بعدي الراشدين المهديين بعدي، تمسكوا بها وعضوا عليها بالنواجذ وإياكم محدثة الأمور فإن كل محدثة بدعة. وما دام أن كل محدثة بدعة وأن كل بدعة ضلالة، من دخل في البدعة فإنما يسير سيرة أهل الضلال. ومثل ذلك ما يحصل من كثير من الذين يتعبدون الله بالتصوف. التصوف، هل النبي صار صوفيا؟ أليس أشرف الخلق سوى الأنبياء أبو بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي ثم بقية الصحابة، هل كانوا متصوفة؟ كانوا يعبدون الله ويعظمون أحكام شريعته، لكنهم لا يتجاوزون ولا يتخطون الحدود، حدود سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وهذه هي سنة أهل السنة والجماعة، هذه طريقتهم أهل السنة والجماعة، يعني أهل الاجتماع على الحق. والنبي ذكر أن أمته لا تجتمع على ضلال، ثم يقول فيها أن أهل السنة يعني يعلمون أن أصدق الكلام كلام الله، لا شك الله جل وعلا هو أصدق القائلين. وأما السلوك والتعبد والتخلق بالأخلاق الكريمة فأكمل الأخلاق أخلاق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. خير الهادي أي التنسك والتعبد والتخلق بالأخلاق الكريمة هدي محمد، هذا هو خير خير الأخلاق. يقول ويؤثرون يعني أهل السنة والجماعة كلام الله على غيره من كلام أصناف الناس. لا يمكن أن يتعارض القرآن وسنة النبي الثابتة، يستحيل أن يوجد سنة ثابتة تخالف القرآن. وإذا فهم إنسان مخالفة فهذا راجع إلى سوء فهمه هو، لا إلى حقيقة المخالفة. يقول يترى على كلام غيره من أصناف الناس ويقدمون هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم على هدي كل أحد، يعني لا يتركون أخلاق النبي وطريقة الأداء التي يؤديها استحسانا لغيرها بتكون أتم وأحسن، لا، أكمل العبادات عبادة رسول الله وأصح الكلام كلام الله جل وعلا، ولا يأتي بعده إلا كلام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. يقول ولهذا يعني لهذه الأمور وهو تعظيم السنة والتمسك بها والعض عليها بالنواجذ واجتناب البدع، ويأتي بكلمة كل يعني تعني أي بدعة لم تكن مشروعة فهي ضلالة، وكل بدعة ضلالة. يقول ولهذا سموا أهل الكتاب والسنة وسموا أهل الجماعة، لأن المقصود بالجماعة الجماعة المصونة، الجماعة التي لا يضرها خلاف أحد، لا تزال طائفة من أمتي على الحق قائمين لا يضرهم خلاف من خالفهم، لأن الجماعة هي الاجتماع على ماذا؟ الاجتماع على الحق والهدى، كل منهم يتلمس معرفة ما كان عليه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وما كان عليه الصحابة رضي الله عنهم وأرضاه، ولأن وسموا أهل الجماعة لأن الجماعة هي الاجتماع ضد الفرقة. وإن كان لفظ الجماعة قد صار اسما لنفس القوم المجتمعين، ثم الإجماع هو الأصل الثالث الذي يعتمد عليه في العلم والدين، يعني مصادر التشريع في الإسلام هي القرآن والسنة، يأتي بعدهما الإجماع. من كيف الإجماع؟ أن يجمع الصحابة على أمر من الأمور، أو يجمع أهل العلم والرأي والسداد المتمسكون بآداب الدين المحافظون على الواجبات المتقربون إلى الله مع الواجبات بنوافل العبادات، أن يجمعوا على أمر. والإجماع هو الأصل الثالث الذي يعتمد عليه في العلم والدين، وهم يعني أهل السنة والجماعة يزنون يعني بهذه الأمور الأصول الثلاثة، يعني ميزانهم الذي يعرفون به وزن هذه الأمور من صحة أو عدم صحة إنما هو القرآن والسنة وما أجمعت عليه الأمة. والإجماع الذي ينضبط هو ما كان عليها السلف الصالح. من هم؟ الصحابة والتابعون وأتباعهم. وأما من يأتي بعدهم حصل عند من جاء بعدهم أمور. حصل في الجهمية، حصل في المعتزلة، حصلت أنواع من الخلافات. فالعبرة بما كان عليه الصحابة والتابعون ومن تبعهم بإحسان. هذا مجمل صفات أهل السنة والجماعة ومواقفهم، لا فيما يتعلق بالكرامات ولا فيما يتعلق بما يعتمد عليه في الحلال والحرام. فأسأل الله جل وعلا أن يجعلنا جميعا من المتمسكين بالكتاب والسنة، الحريصين على اجتماع كلمة المسلمين على الحق والهدى، وأن يجيرنا من الفتن والضلالات، إنه سبحانه مجيب الدعاء. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.
The Shaykh Hafizah Allah Ta'ala began by praising Allah Azza wa Jal. For him is the praise, and seeking assistance from Allah, and seeking refuge in Allah from our evil deeds. And we bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. He is alone and He has no partners. For Him is the dominion, and to Him belongs the praise, and He is able to do all things. And may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon Muhammad, the one who gave the message and fulfilled the trust, and he was sincere for the Ummah. Allah sent him as a mercy to mankind, and verily he was merciful and gentle to the believers. And then the Shaykh mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was no good except that he informed us of it, except he informed his ummah of it, and there is no evil except that he warned his ummah of it. And verily, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, he left them upon that, and if they were to hold to it, they would be successful, and they would have a good ending. In the beginning of tonight's lesson, in Al-Aqidah al-Wasitiyah by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, that which he wrote to the people of Wasit in the area of Iraq to explain to them, or he explained the correct Aqidah, that if a person were to hold to it and implement it, this individual would be saved. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah wrote this treatise seeking the face of Allah. And he mentioned that Ahlul Sunnah, who are the people that hold fast to the book and the Sunnah, the book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in all their affairs, in the affairs of their belief, and in that which they hold to be permissible and unpermissible, likewise in the affairs of worship, and they abstain from that which Allah Azza wa Jal, and this is Ahlul Sunnah, they abstain from that which Allah Azza wa Jal is displeased with. From the sifat or the descriptions of Ahlul Sunnah is that they believe in the karamat al-awliya, which are the miracles or the actions that Allah allowed an individual who is held to be, or is held by Allah to be dear, a friend of Allah, certain miracles that these individuals performed. So the people of the Sunnah, they believe in these actions. And the Shaykh mentioned Habibullah Ta'ala, or Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned that Ahlul Sunnah, they believe in these karamats, and that which Allah Azza wa Jal has bestowed upon these individuals. And the Shaykh mentioned Habibullah Ta'ala, an explanation of that, the karamat al-awliya, these actions which Allah Ta'ala has allowed these individuals to perform, it is something from Allah Azza wa Jal. And it is not that the individual himself has the ability merely to perform the action, but it is something that Allah gives to the individual. And the Shaykh mentioned that this would only be given to an individual who is accurate and sincere in his adherence to the book and to the sunnah, and he is upon that which is correct as it relates to worship, and his beliefs in Allah are correct. So so the individual, his beliefs are correct, his beliefs in Allah Azza wa Jal, his belief in the creator of the heavens and the earth, and the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to him belongs the dominion. So this individual is correct and accurate in his belief and in his actions of worship. So the individual does not become a friend of Allah by making an accusation or making a claim, but rather this individual becomes a friend of Allah by way of his belief and by way of his worship, his correct belief and his correct worship. So Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala mentions that Ahlul Sunnah, we believe in these karamat and that which Allah ta'ala has bestowed upon these individuals from miracles and the likes, and likewise that which Allah has bestowed upon these individuals from that which they're able to find and discover, and their ability to do certain things and influence, as it's been reported from the Salaf, for example in Surah Al-Kahf and others in Surah Al-Kahf. So the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, and Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentions that which took place in Surah Al-Kahf. And the story behind this was when Bani Israel, they questioned Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, who was the Kaleem Allah, he is the one that Allah spoke to directly. And they asked him, who is the most knowledgeable? And Musa said, me. So Allah inspired Musa and informed Musa that in fact there is a servant who has knowledge that you do not have. And the Shaykh Habib Allah Ta'ala mentioned that everyone that reads this surah in the Quran, they know what took place between Musa and his companion, meaning the individual Khidr, who he met. So when Musa became aware that there was an individual who had knowledge that he did not possess, he wanted to learn from this individual. And this story is well known. And they had Musa took a companion to travel with him on his journey to seek knowledge, and they had a fish. And when they had passed the area that was prescribed for Musa to meet Khidr, the fish came out, but they continued to walk. And then Musa said to the individual that was with him, verily we have become tired and fatigued because of this journey, so let's eat. And the individual that was with Musa, the young boy, he said, verily the fish has gone, it has entered into the water and it swam away. So Musa said, that's what we wanted. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, that's what we wanted. And they returned to the area that the fish had escaped. And the boy did not know why Musa was returning to this particular place, but he followed the instructions of Musa. And this is a clear action that's being performed by Musa, which is a gift from Allah Azza wa Jal, considered such as like a miracle. At that time, the story was mentioned, and they returned to that area, and they met Khidr. And it's mentioned that in narrations, hadiths, it's mentioned that Musa, when he saw him, he said, are you Khidr? And Khidr responded, are you Musa? And even though they had never met before, so this within itself is also one of the miracles. They had never met before, but they immediately knew one another. And then Musa alayhi salatu wasalam sought permission from him to accompany him on the journey. And Khidr responded that you do not have patience to join me. And no doubt, the Shaykh mentioned, no doubt the things that took place in this story are things that, you know, they spark one's attention because of what took place. And the first thing is that they boarded a boat, and Khidr destroyed or did something to cause a defect in the boat, and this would possibly cause it to drown. And the second one is that Khidr killed a boy, and the third one is that Khidr he fixed a wall that was falling, even though in a village, even though that they had requested from the people of the village to take them as guests, but they did not do so. So every time Khidr did something that was something strange to Musa, Musa would respond and oppose the action. And then the Shaykh mentioned the actions again about the boat and about the boy and about the wall. And every time Musa would respond with rejection and opposition to that which was done. And then on the third one, Musa said to Khidr, you should have taken some type of fee, because they did not take us, they did not take us as guests. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after mentioning this story to his companions, he said, may Allah have mercy upon Musa. I wish he had been patient so that he could inform us about the rest of the story. Meaning, I wish he had been patient so that he can learn more from Khidr. Also during the time that Musa was with Khidr, Khidr informed Musa that I have knowledge that you do not have. Allah has given me knowledge that he has not given to you. And then the story took place. Toward the end of the story, مَا فَعَلْتُهُ عَنْ عَمْرِي. Toward the end of the story, Khidr said to Musa, verily I did not do so, you know, at my own desire. Yani Allah had inspired Khidr to do these particular actions. So this was the knowledge that Khidr had that Musa did not have. It's also mentioned in the hadith that while they were on the boat, a bird had landed on the boat and it began to, a bird had landed and it began to peck into the water and drink from the water of the ocean. When Musa and Khidr saw this, Khidr said to Musa, verily, Khidr said to Musa, O Musa, verily my knowledge and your knowledge does not take away from the knowledge of Allah, except like the beak of the bird taking from the water, meaning it takes nothing. And the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, it is not known if this was the Nile River or if it was the Red Sea, which is present in the Western province. So these are from the Karamat al-Awliya. These are from the miracles and the actions that the friends of Allah Azza wa Jal are able to perform by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. And likewise, from amongst the Sahaba, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one time Umar ibn Khattab had sent an individual to fight a particular battle. And this individual was outside of Medina fighting the battle. And Umar was inside of Al-Madinah. But Allah showed Umar that this army, they need to take protection. They need to take the mountain as protection, because if they do not, then they would be killed by the enemy. Allah showed this to Umar ibn Khattab, and he was in Medina. So Umar ibn Khattab called out, Ya Sariya al-Jabal. He said, oh Sariya, go to the mountain. Yani seek protection by way of the mountain. So Umar ibn Khattab is in Al-Madinah, and the army is outside of Medina, but the army heard Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So this is another example of an action that can take place, which is considered a miracle by the friends of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, what is understood, or what should be understood, is that these actions can only take place by an individual who has true fear of Allah, an individual who is obedient to Allah, an individual that holds, that observes that which is halal, and an individual that abstains from that which is haram. So this is only the type of individual that would have the ability to do these type of actions. And then the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, so this is how you know if this action is by a friend of Allah Azza wa Jal. If the individual has fear of Allah, if the individual is obedient, if the individual observes that which is halal and abstains from that which is haram, and the individual believes in Allah, believes in his angels, believes in his books, and the other pillars of Iman and Islam, then this is considered a karama. But if the individual is in opposition, or the actions and belief of the individual are in opposition to that which was mentioned, then these are the actions of the shaytan. These are the actions of the shayateen. So this is how we know if a karama has taken place with a particular individual. And likewise, the Shaykh mentioned that it is not mandatory that everyone knows the actions of a friend of Allah Azza wa Jalla. It's possible that an individual is a friend of Allah and the people do not know that this individual has karamat. Then Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned that the way of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah is that they adhere to the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inwardly and outwardly. And the Shaykh mentioned, Habibullah ta'ala, this is the way of the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah. And that is that they implement the actions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they believe that these are the orders of Allah azza wa jalla. So they implement the actions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether it's actions or of worship and the likes. So outwardly, they implement it. And inwardly, they have faith that these are the true orders of Allah azza wa jalla. And they do not oppose the book and the sunnah with anything other than it. That which has come to them by Allah and that which has come to them by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they firmly believe that it is the truth. And they do not say, nor do they believe that anything other than the book and the sunnah is correct and is better and more preferred. And the Shaykh mentioned, Habibullah ta'ala, the Islamic ummah, or the Muslim ummah, has gone astray and deviated. One of the reasons why the Muslim ummah has gone astray and deviated is because they do not implement the pillars of Islam and Iman. They do not correctly implement the pillars of Islam and Iman. The Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned وَاتِّبَعُوا سَبِيلَ السَّابِقِينَ الْأَوَّلِينَ مِنَ الْمُحَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ. And they follow the way of the people, yani the people, the early people from amongst the Muhajireen and the Ansar, those who migrated from Mecca and those who were present in Al-Medina. And the Shaykh said, a proof for this is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best of the people after the Anbiya, the best of the people after the Prophets and the Messengers are the companions, and then those who follow them, and then those who follow them. So the Sahaba are the best of the people after the Prophets and the Messengers, and then the Tabi'un, and then the Atba'i Tabi'in. And verily, they will not have a consensus, they will not come together upon that which is incorrect. They will not come together upon that which is incorrect. And then the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, so the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is that which he had legislated in actions and in worship and in that which is halal and that which is haram. And likewise, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ordered us to follow the Sunnah of his rightly guided Khulafa. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us, ordered us to hold on to it with our molar teeth. So this informs you that an individual that holds on to something with his molar teeth, he would be very strong and he would be very consistent in holding on to that which he is ordered to be holding on to. And verily, the Shaykh mentioned a person holding on to something or grabbing something or biting something with their molar teeth, it is firmer than them biting it with their front teeth and the likes. Then the Prophet ﷺ did not suffice with informing the people and ordering the people to hold on to his sunnah and the sunnah of his rightly guided khulafa. But the Prophet ﷺ further went on to say, and be aware of newly invented matters. And in another narration, the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, in another narration is mentioned, and every newly invented matter is in the hellfire. So this is the way of the Salaf. The way of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah is that they follow the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They follow the Sunnah of his rightly guided Khulafa in all of the affairs. They hold on to it in the affair. And you have the Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that informs about the adherence, that informs of the obligation of adherence to his Sunnah. Where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, for example, in the affair of Hajj, خُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ فَلَعَلِّي لَأَلْقَاكُمْ بَعْدَ عَمِي هَذَا. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, take from me your pilgrimage, the rites of your pilgrimage, for verily I may not meet you after this. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is commanding the Sahaba to take the rites of pilgrimage. And likewise in the Salat, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, صَلُّ كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي. Pray as you see me pray. And the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, it is the mercy of Allah that we know the prayer of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam just as he prayed. And we know the Hajj of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam just as he performed the Hajj. This is the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Because the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was transmitted to us by the Salaf, who were accurate and who were sincere and who were acceptable. No, they were accurate, they were reliable, they were honest in their narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They narrated the actions of the Prophet. They narrated the statements of the Prophet. They narrated when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taking a journey. They narrated when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was at home, when he was sitting with his companions, when he was sitting with his family. Verily, it is from the merits of Allah azza wa jal that we have the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam transmitted by the reliable sources to us. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, be aware of newly invented matters. Verily, the religion, the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, verily the religion is complete. And the fact that it's complete, meaning it is in no need of additions. And this is in all affairs, daily actions, as well as affairs of worship. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the farewell pilgrimage on the day of Arafat, while they were standing, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the verses were revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the farewell pilgrimage on the day of Arafat. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtum alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam deena. Allah azza wa jalla revealed to his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I have fulfilled my favor. I have completed your religion. I have fulfilled my favor upon you, and I am pleased with Islam as your religion. So this informs that the religion is complete. And this completion is in all affairs, and it is in no need of additions. And the Shaykh mentioned, because of that, if you find many paths, if you find many calls, it is upon, or you find people calling to different actions, it is upon you to investigate. Is this action, or are these actions established by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or his rightly guided khulafa? If it is established by the Prophet or his companions, then it is something which is acceptable. If it is not, then it is something which is rejected. Because there is no form of worship except that it has to be established by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever does an action which is not in accordance to our affair, it is rejected. And in another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man ahdatha fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu fa huwa radd." Whoever invents in our religion that which it is not from the religion, it is rejected. So any type of action which is considered to be seeking closeness to Allah, it has to be legislated by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and by his companions. So whatever was considered religion during the time of the Prophet, it is accepted, and whatever was not considered religion during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is rejected. For example, people traveling to different lands, making i'tikaf, and staying in particular lands, this is rejected because it wasn't done by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam nor his companions. Likewise, individuals inventing new forms of worship that were not legislated by the Prophet and his companions. So our criteria, our scale is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if an individual embarks upon an action which was not legislated by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then this individual has taken the path of the people of deviation. And from amongst the paths of the people of deviation is at-tasawwuf. Was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a Sufi? Was Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali, were they practicing the ways of the Sufi? No, they were not, because they kept the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as their limit. And this is the way of the people of the sunnah and jama'ah. Then the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, or Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned that the best speech is the speech of Allah, and the best guidance is the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Na'am, the best speech is the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal. And as for the actions and the worship, the best in the actions of worship were that performed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if an individual wants to know that which is accepted, then they have to follow the actions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the way of Ahlul Sunnah is that we do not prefer, nor do we take anything over the speech of Allah, nor over the speech of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And verily, the speech of the Prophet would never contradict the speech of Allah azza wa jalla. And if an individual finds a contradiction in the speech of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as it relates to the speech of Allah azza wa jalla, then the contradiction is not in the hadith, but it is in the understanding of the individual. And verily, the way of Ahlul Sunnah is that they do not prefer anything over the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they hold the belief, the firm belief, that the best guidance is the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the best forms of worship and the most complete forms of worship is that which was conducted by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And because of that, they were called the people of the book and the people of the Sunnah. And that which is intended by al-jama'a is that the jama'a which is free from fault. The group which is free from fault, and they would not be harmed by those who go against them. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, لا تزال طائفة من أمتي ظاهرين على الحق. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, there will always be a group of my ummah which are prevalent and they prevail over the falsehood. There will always be a group of my ummah which prevails over the falsehood. So the way of Ahlul Sunnah is that they gather upon the truth and they gather upon the guidance. And then the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala. So the way of Ahlul Sunnah is that they always seek that which the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was upon and that which his companions were upon. And then you have Al-Ijma'a, which is considered the consensus. And the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, the reference, the Islamic reference is Quran and Sunnah, and then the Ijma'a, the consensus. And the consensus, how do we establish a consensus? Is that one, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ agree upon something, or the scholars, those who adhere to the religion and preserve the religion and implement that which is obligatory and abstain from that which is haram, if the scholars of Islam have a consensus, then this is also considered as a reference for the legislation of Islam. So the way of Ahlul Sunnah is that we take as a criteria the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and that which his companions were upon. So these are our references for the legislation, the Quran, the Sunnah, and the consensus of the Ummah. And he mentioned that this is the way of the Salaf al-Salih, and the Shaykh mentioned the Salaf al-Salih, they are the companions and the Tabi'un and the Atba' al-Tabi'een, because thereafter there was a disagreement and discord. For example, you had the group of the Jahmiyyah. For example, you had the Mu'tazila and other forms of deviation that took place. So that which we follow is the Sahaba and the Tabi'un and the Atba' al-Tabi'in. And these, the Shaykh mentioned that these are generally from the sifat of Ahlul Sunnah, and we believe in the Karamat as we mentioned, and we take the legislation from the Quran and from the Sunnah and from that which the companions were upon. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us from amongst those who are sincere and true in our implementation and adherence to the book and to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and may Allah Azza wa Jal make us from amongst those who are diligent in gathering and uniting the speech of the Muslims. As-salamu alaykum wa barakatuh. ما نصيحتكم حفظكم الله تعالى لمن يقول بأن السلفيين يركزون على تعليم الناس الاعتقاد ولا يركزون على غيرها؟ فما نصيحتكم؟ هناك من يقول بأن السلفيين يركزون في العقيدة ولا يركزون في غيرها، فما توجيهكم؟
لا شك أن الإيمان بالله جل وعلا وتحقيق العبودية له سبحانه وتعالى هي الأساس، وبقية الأمور تبع. لا يدخل الجنة إلا مؤمن، والمؤمن هو من يؤمن بوجود الله وأنه المستحق للعبادة وأنه خالق كل شيء وأنه مالك كل شيء إلى غير ذلك. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جلس في مكة 13 سنة يدعو إلى التوحيد، إلى إخلاص العبادة لله، وبقية الأعمال لما راح المدينة 10 سنوات وأيام لكيفية العبادة من صلوات فرائض ونوافل ومن بيع وشراء ومن زراعة وغيرها ومن صدقات وزكاة وغير ذلك من صيام وتهجد وحج إلى غير ذلك. هذه الأمور وسياسة حكم وكل شيء هذه كلها جاءت في المدة المختصرة. الأساس هو تحقيق الإيمان. الرجل الذي قال للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأكثر الحاضرين يعرفه سفيان بن عبد الله الثقفي قال قل لي في الإسلام قولا لا أسأل عنه أحدا غيرك فلقل آمنت بالله ثم استقل. فالسلف إذا قيل السلف الصحابة هم أساس السلفية يلحق بهم التابعون وأتباعهم والبقية كلهم تبع لهؤلاء. فأساس الأمور كلها تحقيق توحيد العبادة لله جل وعلا. الكفار يعرفون أن الله هو الخلاق ولئن سألتهم كلهم يقولون الله، لكن العبادة يخلطون يقولون عن معبوديهم ما نعبدهم إلا ليقربونا إلى الله زلفى. ولذلك ينبغي للواحد أن يعترف بفضل السلف وأنهم القدوة وأنهم الذين فهموا الإسلام حقا. اللهم استعان.
Question was, what is your advice for individuals who say that the Salafis only focus on Tawheed and they don't focus on anything else? The Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, but there's no doubt that faith in Allah and implementing servitude to Allah Azza wa Jal, this is the foundation, and everything else in the religion follows that. Only a true believer will enter into Jannah. So the individual who believes in Allah Azza wa Jal and believes that Allah Azza wa Jal is the only one who deserves to be worshipped and that Allah is the only creator and believes in all of these branches of Iman, this is a believer. Indeed, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat in Mecca, stayed in Mecca for 13 years calling the people to Tawheed and calling them to be sincere in the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the rest of the actions that were legislated over a short period of time in Al-Madinah, 10 years and a few days. In Al-Madinah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught the people how to worship, and he taught the people how to perform the obligations, how to buy and sell. He taught them the affairs related to charity. He taught them the affairs related to zakat. He taught them the affairs related to fasting. He taught them affairs related to standing in prayer at night. He taught them affairs related to hajj. All of these affairs were taught to them in a short span of time while they were in Medina. But the foundation is implementing faith in Allah Azza wa Jalla. You had in the hadith, and most of you are aware of the hadith of Sufyan bin Abdullah al-Thaqafi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to me in Islam a statement that I will never ask other than you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, say, I believe in Allah, and then be upright. So the Salaf, they are the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they are the foundation of Salafiyyah. And then you have the tabi'un and the atba'i tabi'een. So that which is important is establishing the foundation of the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. For indeed the disbelievers, they know that Allah is the only creator. But they join partners with Allah in worship. And because of that, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala mentioned about their statement in the Quran, لا نعبدهم إلا ليقربونا إلى الله زلفا. We do not worship other than Allah, except that they gain, or except that they allow us to become nearer to Allah. This is the statement of the kuffar. So because of that, the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala that the foundation is Tawheed and calling the people to the worship of Allah. Then the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, it is befitting and mandatory that the people understand the merits of the Salaf. And it is mandatory that they understand that they are an example. And it is mandatory, he's mentioned that it is mandatory that they understand that they are an example. يقول السائل جدتي امرأة كبيرة في السن وهي تفتقد الوعي وأحيانا إذا أحيانا يعني تفوتها الصلوات وإذا وعيت تقضي هذه الصلوات فهل فعلها صحيح؟
العقل هو المعتمد في أداء العبادات فإذا كانت تفقد الذاكرة تارة فلتحرص على أداء العبادة بقدر المستطاع وإذا فرض أنها غفلت أو نامت أو فقدت الذاكرة فترة ثم استيقظت إن كانت فقدت الذاكرة طويلة ما تقضي وإن كان هي لا أوقات من يوم واحد أو مثله فيتقضي العبادات التي تمر عليها في حال فقد الذاكرة.
Individual is asking that his grandmother is an old female. She's old in age, she's senior, and at times she loses her her ability to remember, and she, you know, loses her intellect and the likes of that. With regards to the prayer, if she gains her ability, should she make up her prayers and the likes? The Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala that her correct intellect and mind, her ability to understand, this is that which is based, or the performance of the prayers are based upon. So if she loses that ability, so the Shaykh mentioned, so she should try to keep that ability, but if she loses that ability, for example, she goes to sleep or the likes of that, if this happens for a long period of time, for several days, then she does not make up the prayer. But when she becomes aware, then she prays the present prayers. But if it's only for a short period of time, for a few hours or for a day, and then she gains her ability, then she should make up the prayer that she missed in that short period of time. يقول السائل قد بلغني أحد الإقوى من الثقات بأن أحد الناس أعرفه يتكلم بكلام التكفيريين ولكنني ما سمعت شيئا من ذلك وعندي سؤال هل يرد هذه
السؤال إن شاء الله يسوغ يوما آخر باختصار ويحدد الأشياء التي يضبطها لا ولا يتكلم عن الشيء إلا إذا تيقنه.
The question, I can't understand the question in Arabic, but the Sheikh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala that a person should not speak about it except something he understands. If the brothers have the question, they can rewrite it because I can't understand the question. يقول السائل متى يخرج الشخص من دائرة أهل السنة
إذا خالف ما يعتمدونه في حياتهم في عبادة وموالاة ومعاداة في الله جل وعلا،
individuals asking when does an individual leave the realm of the circle of Ahlul Sunnah, and the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, if the individual opposes that which is correct in terms of worship and that which is correct and legislated in terms of our muwalat wal mu'adat, in terms of our, what's the translation? Those, yani, our relations, in terms of our relations with the believers and our disassociation from the disbelievers, and I will try to think of another translation next week. But if the individual opposes that, then the individual has left the circle of Ahlul Sunnah. يقول السائل: لماذا استدل ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى في العقيدة الواسطية بمثال خضر كأنه ولي وأعماله كرامات، مع أنه معروف بأن خضر كان نبيا من الأنبياء؟
من أين لك أنت السائل أنه من الأنبياء؟ الله قال عنه أنه عبد من عبادنا، ولا يعرف أن له تشريع. ومن الصالحين لقمان،
the individual is asking why did Ibn Taymiyyah, or why was it mentioned that Ibn Taymiyyah used Khidr from Surah Al-Kahf as an example, when Khidr, or from that which is known as that Khidr was, that's the question, from that which is known that Khidr was a prophet. The Shaykh said, from where do you get that Khidr was a prophet, oh you questioner? Allah described Khidr as a servant from our servants. So it is not known that Khidr was a prophet, and he did not have a legislation. But that which is correct is that he was a servant of Allah, like Luqman. يقول السائل: هل يجوز للصغير السن أن يؤم الكبير أو جماعة؟
الأصل في الإمامة يعني في الصلاة أن يؤم الناس أقرأهم لكتاب الله، وإذا جاء إنسان كبير السن أو جاء كبار ووجد شخصا يؤم الناس وهو صغير في السن لكنه ليس بطفل لا يعقل، صلوا خلفه في الصلاة الصحيحة. إنما الأفضل أن يؤم الناس أكملهم في علمه ودينه.
Individuals asking, is it acceptable for a young child to lead older individuals in salat? And the Shaykh mentioned Habibullah Ta'ala that the origin is that the person who leads the prayer is the one who has more, the one who has memorized more of the Quran. But if an older individual comes and he finds a young boy or a young person, a young boy leading the prayer, as long as he's not extremely young, like a baby, but if he finds a young person leading the prayer, then it's permissible for him to pray behind him, and the salat is correct. But that which is preferred is that the individual who leads the prayer is someone who has more knowledge and someone who has more understanding of the religion. يقول السائل: ما هو الأدب أو ما هو أدب الطالب بالنسبة لتغطية الرأس؟ هل من أداب الطالب أن يغطي رأسه؟
أدب الطالب ألا يكون مخالفا لمن يتعلم معهم أو يجالسهم، ينبغي أن يكون على أحسن الأحوال إذا قدر على ذلك.
Individuals asking, is it from the etiquette of a student of knowledge to keep his head uncovered, or to uncover his head? The Shaykh mentioned Habibullah Ta'ala, from the etiquette of a student of knowledge is that he does not do anything which is considered unacceptable to the individuals that he's teaching, to the individuals that he's in the company of. It's befitting and mandatory that a student of knowledge has the best appearance to the best of his ability. يقول السائل ما موقفنا إذا خالف عالم باجتهاده جمهور العلماء؟
إذا علمنا أن شخصا خالف جمهور العلماء نأخذ بما قاله الجمهور ونتركه هو. إذا أمكن أن ينبه لخطأ المخالفة نبه.
Individuals asking, what is our position if we know that a particular scholar has disagreed with the statements of the majority of the scholars? And the Shaykh mentioned, Habibullah Ta'ala, if we know that an individual has said a statement which is in opposition to the majority of the scholars, then we take the statement of the majority of the scholars, the opinion of the majority of the scholars, and we leave the statement of that individual. And if we have the ability to advise that individual, then we do so. كل السؤال هل يجوز للإمام المسجد أن يحضر الكفار في صلاة الجنازة بزعم أن هذا من باب الدعوة؟
لا يشترك معهم في الصلاة على جنائز الكفار. إذا كان يملك أن يمنعهم من المسجد يمنعهم من إدخال الميت الكافر للمسجد.
لعله يقصد أقارب الميت المسلم.
أما أقارب المسلم الذي مات المسلم يريد أن يصلى عليه في المسجد فيأتي أناس من قرابته الذين هم غير مسلمين فلا حرج أن يدخلوا في المسجد، إنما منع الكفار من دخول المسجد الحرام وما سواه لم يستر فيه منع خاص. لكن ينبغي أيضا وهم يدخلون أن يحرص الإمام يميز وضعهم، لا يجعل بين كافرين مسلم، لأنه بمثابة من يصلي خلف الصف.
نعم. The individual is asking about an imam of a masjid who allows or he brings disbelievers to come for the Salat al-Janaza, for the funeral prayer. He brings disbelievers and he says that this is a means of calling them to Allah. And the Shaykh mentioned that people, and I brought some clarity, I said, the Shaykh, maybe it's referring to the relatives of the Muslim who has died. And the Shaykh mentioned, Habibullah Ta'ala, if a Muslim has died and he has non-Muslim relatives, and those non-Muslim relatives are allowed to enter into the masjid for the purpose of witnessing the funeral prayer, then there's no problem in this. Verily, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam only forbade the disbelievers to enter Masjid al-Haram, no other masjid. But likewise, it should be known, yani they should be distinct. Yani disbelievers, when they enter into the masjid and they are present for this funeral prayer, they should be distinct. They should be known, and not, you know, shouldn't be mistaken that they are Muslims.
يقول السائل هل يجوز لأحد من عامة المسلمين أن يبدع أحد من أعوام المسلمين؟
أول التبديع لا يوصف أحد بأنه مبتدع إلا إذا ثبت أنه مبتدع، ومعرفة أنه مبتدع العام لا يعرف نوع الابتداع، لكن إذا قرر أهل العلم أن هذا العمل بدعة وأن الداعي إليه داعي له يدعو للابتداع فلا حرج أن يذكر الشخص بأنه من أهل البدعة وأنه مبتدع.
The person is asking, is it for a layman to label someone else from amongst the laymen as an innovator? And the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, it's not permissible to call anyone an innovator except if it's confirmed that this individual is actually an innovator. And knowing that someone is an innovator is not known by the general layman. But if you have a person from amongst the people of knowledge if the people of knowledge have informed that this action is an innovation and the people that call to this action are innovators, then there's no problem in the general layman informing that this individual is an innovator, because based on what? Based on the statements of the people of knowledge. يقول السؤال ما هو الفرق بين المعجزات والكرامات؟
الكرامات ما يحصل للشخص لنفسه أو لما يريده للآخرين من أمور غير مألوفة عند الناس، وأما المعجزات فهي من خصائص الأنبياء، أن يأتي الإنسان بالشيء الذي كما في قصة موسى عليه السلام لما استسقى لقومه أمره الله أن يضرب بعصاه الحجر فانفجرت منه 12 عينا، ولما باغته فرعون وقومه وقال أصحابه إنا لمدركون أمره الله أن يضرب بعصاه البحر فانفلق 12 طريق، هذه معجزات. ومنها فيما يتعلق بنبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم أمور ذكرت، منها لما كانوا في الحديبية قل الماء في البئر قال من ليس فيه ماء فما كان من النبي إلا أن ذهب غير الصعفة سكبه فيها ثم قرأ ثم قال استقوا فاستقوا ينزفون الماء ما نقص. والمرأة التي جاءت على بعير عليه قرب ماء، فجاء به للنبي والما بينها وبينه يومان طيب، جلس وقرأ أنه دعا ثم قال للصحابة الذين معه وفي سفره بالغزو إلى جهة شمال الجزيرة فقال استقوا فملأوا جميع ما معهم من قرب شيء من قرب المرأة، هذا من الأشياء اللي يعجز الإنسان يتصور كيف حصلت. ثم لما انتهت المرأة قال لها النبي هل رزعنا يعني هل نقصنا ماء أخي؟ ذهبت قربها كأنه لم يؤخذ منها ماء وغير ذلك.
The individual is asking what is the difference between mu'jizat and karamat, and both of them in English are similar to miracles, but the difference will become clear when the Sheikh's answer. The Sheikh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, karama is that which takes place by an individual or what he does to help others. But a mu'jiza is specifically for prophets and for messengers. So karama is for other than prophets and messengers, where mu'jizat are for prophets a messenger. For example, in the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when his people sought from him to drink, and Allah azza wa jal informed Musa to hit his staff on the ocean, and 12 rivers came about from the ocean. And likewise, so this is a mu'jiz of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Likewise with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sulh Hudaybiyah, when the water decreased and the companions became thirsty, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam supplicated to his Lord, and water began to flow from the fingers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise it took place that in another story that they were in need of water, and a female passed and she had water in a vessel, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered his companions to fill their vessels, their empty vessels, from her one vessel of water, and all of them filled their vessels until they were all full. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the woman, have we taken away from your water? And when she looked at her vessel, it was as if nothing was taken from it. So these were examples of how mu'jizat took place with Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, as well as with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يقول السائل هناك في البلاد الغربية كتب مترجمة في علوم الإسلامية ومؤلفها الشيخ ربيع بن هادي المدخلي، فهل تنصح بقراءة هذه الكتب؟
لا أرى ما يمنع من ذلك، ولا شك الشيخ ربيع من العلماء، لكن ليس معنى أن كل عالم يكون معصوم. العصمة فقط للأنبياء،
the individual is asking, there are some books in the West which are translated into English, and the author of these books is Sheikh Rabia bin Hadi al-Madkhali. Do you advise reading these books? And he says, I do not see a problem in reading these books. There's no doubt that Sheikh Rabia is from the scholars, but this does not mean that all scholars are free from fault. For verily, being free from fault is only for the prophets and the messengers. يقول السائل نحن مسلمون جدد ونحن كذلك نحن مسلمون جدد وكذلك دخلنا في السلفية من جديد، فهل لديك نصيحة لنا للثبات على هذا المنهج؟
أقول إذا صح ما تقولون فهذا توفيق من الله جل وعلا لكم، فإن الخير والهدى إنما هو بسلوك الطريق السلفية، والسلفية ليست مجرد دعوة يدعيها أناس، وإنما السلفية أي على ما كان عليه السلف الصالح من الصحابة والتابعين وتابعيهم. فنصيحة اللي عم تقرأوا في مثل ما كتبه شيخ الإسلام أحمد بن عبد الحليم بن تيمية وابن القيم، لما كتبه الشيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب وتلامذته، ومن سار على هذا المنهج كالطحاوي ومن قبلهم الطحاوي والشافعي ومالك بن أنس، كل هؤلاء أهل المنهج الصحيح.
Individuals saying we are new to Islam and we are new to Salafiyya, so what is your advice for us to remain firm? The Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, if what you're saying is true, then indeed this is التوفيق. This is success from Allah Azza wa Jal, and this is the blessing of Allah upon you. For verily, the good and the guidance is in adhering to the way of Salafiyya. And it is not a mere call, it is not a mere accusation, but verily it is that which were, or verily it is that which the pious predecessors were upon from amongst the companions and the tabi'un and the atba'at tabi'een. So my advice to you is that you read the works of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, you read the works of Ibn Qayyim, you read the works of Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, and you read the works of their students. And likewise, you read the works of those who came before them, such as Imam al-Tahawi, and likewise Imam al-Shafi'i, likewise Imam Malik. Verily, Imam Malik, verily, these were individuals who had correct beliefs and adherence. يقول السائل: ما حكم شراء الشهادات المزورة والعمل بها؟ فهل الكسب الذي يترتب عليها حرام أم حلال؟
لا شك أن هذا العمل من الغش، أي مما يضاد الحقيقة. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: من غشنا فليس منا، أي ليس على هادينا في هذا العمل. فلا يجوز للإنسان أن يدعي لنفسه ما ليس لها.
Individuals asking on the ruling of buying fake certificates, certifications, and working with these fake certifications. The Sheikh mentioned Habib al-Attara. There's no doubt that this is from deception, and it is contrary and opposition to the truth. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever deceives us, he is not from us, meaning he is not upon our guidance in this matter. So it is not permissible for an individual to claim that he has obtained something which he has not truly obtained. السؤال: في صلاة الجماعة هل يتلفظ المأموم بالتكبيرات أو هل يكفي جهر الإمام بهذه التكبيرات؟
لا، يتكلم المأموم، عليه أن يتكلم، لكن ليس بالصوت الذي يشوش على الناس، وإنما بالشيء الذي يسمعه هو من نفسه، يتأكد من حصوله بالتكبيرات والانتقالات كسمع الله لمن حمده، ربنا لك الحمد، وكذلك الأذكار في الركوع والسجود. ينبغي للمأموم أن يحرص على شغل أوقاته بما ينشغل به الإمام، إلا أن المأموم يقرأ الفاتحة، والخلاف فيها معروف وقوي، إلا أن الراجح القول بوجوبها، فإن النبي يقول: لا صلاة لمن لم يقرأ فاتحة الكتاب. الحديث الآخر: أيما صلاة لم يقرأ فيها بفاتحة الكتاب فهي خداج، يعني ناقصة.
Individuals asking the salat, person who is being led in salat, should they verbally say the takbirat, or should they suffice with that which the imam says? The Shaykh mentioned Habib al-Attara. No, the person who is being led in congregation should say the takbirat, but he should say it softly and low, not to harm or cause problems for other people that are praying in the congregation, but low enough for him to hear it himself. This is done with the takbirat, this is done with the sami Allahu liman hamida. Likewise, the supplications or the afkar that the individual says in sujood and ruku'. This is that which is said by the ma'mum, the person who's being led in congregation. Except the affair of Surah Al-Fatiha, and this affair is well known. This disagreement of opinion is well known, but that which is most correct, the strongest opinion, is that it is obligatory for the imam, obviously, and for the person being led in congregation to say Surah Al-Fatiha, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is no prayer for the one who does not recite Surah Al-Fatiha. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, any salat void of Surah Al-Fatiha, it is deficient.
أولا نسأل الله جل وعلا أن يجعلنا جميعا من المخلصين لله بالعبادة وأن ينفعنا جميعا بما حصلناه أو نحصله من العلم النافع وأن يبارك لنا في أعمالنا وأعمالنا وما أعطانا من علم وعمل وغير ذلك مما يحبه الله جل وعلا ورسوله كما أسأل الله بأسمائه وصفاته أن يعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأن يذل الكفر والكافرين والمنافقين وأن يفرج كربات المسلمين في كل مكان أن يشفع جائعهم ويكسو عاريهم ويغني فقيرهم ويشفي مريضهم وأن يجمع كلمتهم على الحق والهدى كما نسأل جل وعلا أن يعاجل المسلمين بكشف هذه المحنة وهذه الغمة وما يقال عن الحكومة الإسلامية وما يحصل في سوريا وفي العراق وفي اليمن وفي غيرها من المصائب وفي ليبيا نسأل الله أن يكشف كل ذلك ويحل محله الحق والهدى كما نسأل جل وعلا أن ينصر المسلمين في كل مكان في البلاد الإسلامية وفي غيرها وأن يعلي قدر أصحاب محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في جميع بلاد الإسلام وأن يخزي كل من يتنقص أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كما نسأله سبحانه أن يجعلنا جميعا من الصادقين في محبة الله ومحبة رسوله ومحبة آل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المؤمنين وصحابته رضي الله عنهم أجمعين كما أسأله بأسمائه وصفاته أن يحفظ لهذه المملكة العربية السعودية أمنها على دينها ودنياها وأن يجعلها موفقة في رعايتها لشؤون الحرمين وتيسير السبيل للوافدين إلى الحرمين من حجاج وعمار وزوار لمسجد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إنه سبحانه القادر على كل شيء وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين صلى الله على نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.
The Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us amongst those who are sincere in our worship and to benefit us with that which we learn from the knowledge and to bless us in our actions and that which He has given us. We ask Allah with His names and attributes to give might and glory to Islam and the Muslims and to debase the disbelievers and their disbelieving, the disbelievers and their beliefs. And that Allah Ta'ala brings, that Allah feeds the Muslim who is hungry, and that Allah clothes the Muslim who is without clothing, and that Allah Ta'ala cures the Muslim who is sick. We ask Allah Ta'ala to bring unity to the Muslims and to unite us upon the truth and upon guidance. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to remove the calamity which has befallen the Muslims in all parts of the world, in Syria, in Iraq, in Yemen, in Libya. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to replace their torment and tragedy with guidance and with the truth. And we ask Allah to give victory to the Muslims in all parts of the world. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to unite the Muslim lands. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to debase and destroy anyone who speaks ill of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we ask Allah to make us sincere in our love of Allah and our love of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and our love of the Sahaba and we ask Allah to preserve this country, Al-Mumlaka Al-Arabiya Saudiya, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, and we ask Allah Azzawajal to give the rulers of this country success in dealing with the affairs of the Haramain al-Sharifin, Mecca and Medina, and to make the affairs of the Hujjaj and those who are visiting, to make their affairs easy and comfortable. Verily Allah is able to do all things, and our last supplication is all praise be to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his family members and companions.